Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I am Al Cortland. Appreciate you joining me. Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist, is joining me right now. Going to chat about something that's a little more sophisticated, perhaps, than some of the things we talk about on the show, but it's very, very important, and that has to do with investing in the resource market and tax planning. Now, keep in mind, neither Mickey nor I are experts in the area of tax planning. This is not advice, professional advice. We're simply telling you how we handle this ourselves. If it's interesting to you, look into it with your professional tax advisor. Mick, you got the spotlight, buddy. What are you doing?
Well, I'll preface this by saying that savvy investors in this time of year, in early December, are probably tax planning their capital gains and losses for year end. And you and I are both libertarians or have libertarian leanings, and so libertarian can be defined as a person that wants the government to keep a nose out of his business and its hand out of his pocket. But that's really not practical with what I consider somewhat of an onerous tax regime in the United States. So it becomes mandatory for us to try to manage our capital gains and losses on a yearly basis.
Of course it does. What are you doing?
Well, there are two types of capital gains and losses. There's the long term, which are greater for assets held greater than 1 year, and short term, less than 1 year. And the latter have significant tax consequences. Long term capital gains are taxed at 15%, and short term capital gains, those held for less than a year, can be taxed anywhere from 28% to 36%, depending on your tax bracket, right?
Sure.
And you're allowed under the rules of the IRS to take maximum losses of no more than $3,000 per year total. Now, we can carry losses forward. So the idea becomes is to balance both your long-term and your short-term capital gains as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what Big Al does. Number one, if I'm looking at losses, but I think that fundamentally the companies could rebound, the companies that I own shares in could rebound in the following year, I don't worry so much about losses, because $3,000, I'm sorry, is really not a very big number in the total scheme of things. I think that it is important to realize that there are two ways to invest in the market, Mickey, as you brought out very effectively. You know, one is long-term and one is short-term. And I think the one thing that you have to realize if you're a short-term investor, and in some instances, I am a short-term investor, there's no question about it. But I typically will not sell something short-term unless I have enough profit in it that the 30% or greater that I have to pay in short-term capital gains isn't surmounted by whatever gain I get in the price of the stock.
Yeah, well, I do the same thing, and
sure,
your point is very well taken, especially in a bull market. If you pick good stocks, you're not going to generate very many short-term capital losses, and especially in the last couple of years where we've been had this raging bull market.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened, we had the market crash in 2008, and that probably generated both long- and short-term capital losses for many of us. Since then, we've had this bull market. So in my instance, I did some tax loss selling in 2009, and I've carried forward some tax losses, long-term tax losses, into 2010. You know, 2009 and both 2010 have been wonderful years. So you're going to see people generating tax loss sales. Those often happen in November. Right now, I'm actually taking some profits off the table because the market's pretty overheated right now. But you sell some long-term capital gains and to recoup some carry-forward losses from 2009. I, like you, loathe the short-term capital gains tax burden. So especially in the interest of private placements, I have several private placements that are way in the money right now. Here's another strategy. So versus with my power of two investing philosophy, I want to take some money off the table. But I'm not going to do that in December. I'm going to do that in early January, which then postpones my tax burden from April 15th of 2010 into 2011. So the gist of this, Al, is that at this time of year, it's time for people to start adding up their gains and losses and start managing to minimize their tax burden in 2011.
Yeah, and I would say that one thing that I learned a long time ago in our area of investing is that typically prices have a tendency to depreciate a bit. Share prices have a tendency to depreciate a bit in December for the reasons you just mentioned. Number one, because of tax loss selling, and number two, you know, because of the concept of taking profit off the table, so to speak. So what I would say personally is, you know, every individual is different, but you just have to be careful, and you have to work with a very, very savvy tax advisor. Mickey, I want to ask your opinion about something, and I've asked this question numerous times on the show with other guests, but we had a spokesman from the Bank of China who came out on Thursday and talked about the wise nature of Chinese building their assets in terms of building their gold assets. He feels that this is something that's going on, and he feels very strongly that that is one of the most bullish things that's happening for gold right now. Would you agree? And number two, how long do you think this is going to last in terms of the Chinese actions? Keeping in mind that we don't really know what the Chinese are buying in terms of gold in total because of the fact that mainland China is the largest gold producer in the world now, and so a lot of what they're keeping, you know, from their own mines isn't even known.
Well, that's true, Al. We do know that last year that the Chinese were the world's greatest importer of gold, something over 400 tons. India was not very far behind essentially the same number, 400 tons, a little bit more. So there is no doubt that buying from China is part of what's driving the market. But to me, an equally important driver of the speculation in gold, if you will, right now, is in paper gold and the ETFs. So it's always difficult to know what the Chinese are doing. It's quite the secretive, still centrally planned government. Mm-hmm. They've embraced some mixture of capitalism with still a centrally planned communistic government. Who knows how long it will last, but I think we're all bullish on gold right now, especially with the fiat currencies being printed and the teeter-totter situation we're dealing with the world economy.
I agree 1,000%. Mickey, always appreciate you having on the show. You guys out there, stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Axel Merck.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.